hate to disappoint you, but I'm also like I'm also a normal person. So there were a lot of times when I had given up. Nobody needs a huge amount of wealth or anything.
Mm.
If you have it, share it. You should be helping others. You should be sharing it with others.
Life is a huge adventure, but our ego tries to kill that adventure by creating a narrative of how it wants things to do in order for it to gain control. All right, so welcome to the Monk with Braids podcast. I'm your host, the Monk with Braids. And in this podcast, I bring inspiring people that have inspiring stories. So in Dubai, there are thousands of lifestyle coaches. There are people that are lifestyle coaches with food. There are people with lifestyle coaches of the luxurious lifestyle of Dubai. There are people in fashion, in gym. But if you're looking for a lifestyle coach that talks about what it's like to be an expat in Dubai that comes from a second or third world country and is trying to make something of themselves from scratch, AT is the lifestyle content creator you would go to. So welcome to my podcast, AT.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's so good to finally have you here, man.
Man.
It's been a while since I've been trying to get you on. Difficult person to get a hold of. Just like, a celebrity.
No, Kanye West. Far from that.
I want to start with this. Whenever you go to a person's garden and it looks beautiful and has all these flowers and plants.
Sure.
One thing that I always think about is that this beautiful flowers and garden that you're seeing, it all started with a bunch of very small seeds.
Well, I had never thought about that, but yeah, that is one way of looking at it, yes.
Right? So, looking at your career,
uh-huh.
I'm about to link that.
Sure.
You have, in the last 2 years, a very successful, fruitful career.
Yes.
And I think you've built a very beautiful garden for yourself at the moment. And
Alhamdulillah, yes.
Ever-growing.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you, without getting too philosophical, what are your earliest memories of you knowing that I want to be a content creator? What are some of those seeds in your life?
The earliest memories of me watching YouTube. Those listicle sort of videos, list 25, top 5, top 10, that sort of things.
I remember when they were popular.
Yes.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Very long ago.
In fact, it was one of the very first channels that I had subscribed to.
Okay.
And I loved watching them. And then I thought, I can also make content. I should also make content.
Yeah.
It's always I can and then I should. Followed by I should.
It started with I can.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, this is something I think I can do.
Yeah.
And then it became like, oh, I should do this.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I started making it. So I felt I cannot. But that's how you learn. Right? Everything seems easy in your head when you're just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you don't realize like how much goes into
exactly,
it. Right?
Exactly.
So what was the first piece of content that you made?
I don't even know if you can call it a piece of content, but it was a screen recording of a game I was playing on my phone. That's like close to 2.5-3 minutes long.
Wow.
No
okay.
commentary, no nothing.
Just
me
game.
Playing the game, that's all.
Wow, I love that. There's a study I looked at in the US that found that 54% of 13 to 38-year-olds want to become social media influencers. Right?
Wow.
So it's a lot of people now
yes,
want to,
yes.
you know, it's become this thing that everyone wants to do, right? Everyone wants to be a content creator.
Yeah.
The reasons are probably varied. Fame, money, girls, realistically, the fact that it's easier than a 9-to-5 job. So I wanted to ask you, why did you want to become a content creator?
I find myself asking that question as well.
Hmm.
I think earlier it was money because content creation for me was only YouTube. I was never looking at Instagram, Facebook or TikTok wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah.
So
was it a thing when you started?
No.
Okay.
I think TikTok, I don't know when the company was founded and when the app was launched, but it was gaining momentum around 2018 or 19. That's the time when it was super popular.
Yeah.
I mean, it is still popular, but I'm talking about back home in India.
Yeah.
Where it got banned in 2020.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's why. Anyways, the earliest memory of content creation I have is related to YouTube, because that was the only form of content I was consuming. So naturally, that is where I wanted to be. And YouTube is naturally, again, linked to AdSense.
Yeah.
The advertising revenue.
Yeah.
So I think when I got into it, it was for money. But also because it seemed accessible. You know, you watch a video and feel like, you know, I can do that. Yeah. Anybody can do that. You don't need a degree. You don't need to go to school to do that. But only after you start doing it, do you realize that, you know, a lot more goes into that than just making or shooting something and just speaking.
Yeah. So the purpose behind you making content at the time, it was money.
Money, yeah.
And you thought, oh, this is something so easy to do.
It seems I can probably make some money out of it. I don't even have to step out of my house. I don't even have to work a job. You know, just the basic stuff that goes through a person who is in college.
Yeah. And was there anyone around you at the time that was making content? Like, so your friends or anyone?
No.
Okay, so it was just you doing that.
Yeah.
And when was, like, the time you started? I mean, obviously you had, like, these games that you would play and stuff. But what was kind of the first official piece of content that started your journey?
Official piece of content. Wow. There are a couple of them, because I have tried a bunch of genres. So I don't know which one to tell you. But if you're talking about my vlogs...
Okay, wait. Before you say that, you said that you tried a bunch of different genres.
Yeah.
So how did you start, and what was the journey of the genres that you...
I mean, we are all always playing games on our phones or on a PS or something like that, right? So gaming was the first thing that came to my mind. But I just did like two or three videos of that, and I thought, this is not my cup of tea. I mean, yeah. It didn't seem exciting or interesting for me to make videos about it. So after that, tech has always been a very interesting thing for me. Any sort of tech, not just phones or laptops. So I thought of making videos about that. And back then, like I'm talking about 2017, 2018, Hindi tech videos was a huge thing. It was a booming thing in India. So I tried doing that. And I have one video that, I mean, to this date has like 13, 14,000 views.
Wow.
And that's a long format video.
Yeah, and it was like a long time ago, before any of this, before Instagram.
Oh, of course, of course. I think it was back in 2017.
Wow. So that's a big thing.
Yeah.
At the time, that's probably like, wow, I can't believe this did so well.
Yeah, that video alone gained my channel like 100-150 followers.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
And that was like the first video you posted?
It was like the first, one of the first few videos, but that was the one that performed.
Okay.
So I sort of got an understanding of what works and what doesn't.
Okay. That's a really interesting point, because I think that when people have this idea of what they want to do, they start it off with this, and if it doesn't work out, or if it's something that doesn't interest them, they'll just say, this is not for me, or let me, you know, this is something I don't think I can do.
I think it's like a lot of other things in life, it's a process of trial and error.
That's exactly what I wanted to get to.
Yeah.
So you tried one thing.
Yeah.
It kind of didn't work. You didn't get the views, but you didn't get disheartened, and you also were like, I don't really enjoy this. But rather than going, let me just not do this at all, you're like, what else can I do? What else do I enjoy? And let me try that.
I mean, see, I hate to disappoint you, but I'm also like, I'm also a normal person. So, so there were a lot of times when I had given up.
Yeah.
Like, started doing something else. Because obviously that was not making me money. So you have to do, you have to work your job or whatever it is that you do to make money. That was back then. But after that, I have always been intrigued by the content Nas Daily makes. So I tried that.
Okay.
That also somehow sort of worked.
Okay.
I made a new channel. Then I had started understanding, see, it can also work on Instagram. Okay. Instagram has started posting, started pushing reels along with YouTube shorts. So I started making short format content.
Yeah. So... you start off trying one thing, it doesn't work, you try doing different things.
Yeah.
The times you gave up or the times you stopped, tell me about those times. Do you think those times when you gave up were needed in order for you to come back better and to come with a new vision that would then essentially make you who you are today?
I want to say yes, because that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you are doing something for a long time, you get stuck, you get tunnel vision. You just need to step back, relax, take a few days off. That's what I do now for work.
Yeah.
So I know how that happens or how that works. But back then I did not know that. I was just an amateur, I kind of still am. But back then I was just making videos whenever I wanted to, then getting back to what I was doing in life, like studying. Then after that, it was my job. So just life took over.
Yeah.
You know how you like doing something, but you don't end up doing it for the whole time?
Yeah.
Sort of like that. It was just a hobby for me back then.
Yeah.
So, but when I think about it, I think those gaps did play a crucial role, because only because of those gaps was I able to pivot to different form of content.
Mm.
If I had continued doing that one thing, I would have only continued doing that one thing.
Yeah. Okay. And because I think this is really important as well, having gaps. I think that when you try something, it doesn't work out. Mm. I think at the end of the day, as long as you just keep trying something, at some point, something will work.
Yeah, because again, it's a process of trial and error. If you exhaust all the possibilities of it not happening, eventually, I mean, inshallah, eventually it will happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And talking about this thing about life taking over, you know, there's this movie that I always talk about, the movie Up, with the balloons and the guy.
Oh, I love it.
Great movie, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So in the movie, there's this thing So essentially for my company, I'm the well-being coordinator. I've talked about this in so many sessions with people. But essentially, the point of the movie is, for me, this couple, they want to go to Paradise Falls. You know, they have this goal to do that. And it's something that's such a big part of their life.
Yeah.
But the guy breaks his leg. They have to take money from this jar that they've been saving up for. So they have this jar that they save up money to go to this place together. But you know, something in life keeps coming in the way, whether it's the guy's leg, some house repairs, and in the end, unfortunately, the guy's wife dies, and then he looks at this thing that they were meant to do together, and he's like, oh, I can't believe we didn't do it. And then the rest of the movie becomes about him going there and actually doing it. And I feel like this movie is such a good representation of how life is, because we have a purpose. We have this thing that we really want to do, but something in life keeps coming in the way.
Man, I mean,
right?
I had totally forgotten about that montage.
Yeah, man.
You made me emotional. I mean, I'm feeling... That was a very powerful montage. I was thinking about the movie. I thought you were going to say something from the movie, but it's just that montage is so much more powerful than the whole movie itself.
Yeah. Back when Disney movies had like a real meaning.
Oh man,
I don't want to...
That's one of my favorite movies ever.
Right? But it's so true. Like something in life just always comes up and it prevents you from actually doing what you wanted to do. And it seems like you had that for a while, you know? You had this... life kept coming in the way. But then you became a content creator that makes content on his life. So when life keeps coming in the way of something, you're like, you know what, life? I'm going to make you the highlight of my content creation. Then there's no running away from it.
I guess,
because that becomes your, you know, what you're making content about.
Yeah. This makes me think about literally like a couple of weeks ago, I met a friend and she was telling me people make their job their lives.
Yeah.
You made your life your job.
Yeah.
I'm starting to realize this. Okay. Again, self-discovery is also a process. It's not a one-night thing.
You cannot
wake up and know, oh, shit, I'm this, I'm that, you know?
Yeah. This is my purpose. This is what I'm here
to
do.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
So I've been learning that I have a very tough time creating boundaries. That, okay, I'll start working at 9, stop at 6. After that, it's my personal time. I'll talk to my family or watch a movie or whatever. I cannot turn my brain off like that. Or start turn it on for that matter. So if I'm in the zone, then I would like to continue being in the zone. Whether it is staying with the family member or a loved one or working.
But that's good, no?
I think it's good. It helps me get a lot of things done sometimes. Sometimes it also prevents me from doing work.
And
so it's a boon and also a curse, I feel.
Yeah, blessing and a curse at the same
blessing
time.
And a curse, yeah.
Do you think that's needed? Do you think you need to be in a zone where you kind of... Because you know whenever you see someone that's been successful, no worries at all. When you see someone that's been successful, that's, you know, done something from their lives, what I've noticed is that they always have this small period in their life where they've just put everything and they've just put all their work and they were kind of isolated.
I think that is needed. I think that is needed because you have to dedicate yourself to that word, whatever that is, the thing you're doing, your work or whatever that gives you the meaning of being alive. I think you have to dedicate yourself 100% to that. And only then something very good, very powerful, very inspirational will come out of it. That's the reason they call it putting in your 10,000 hours.
Yes, to become a professional, right? If you want to be a professional.
Like
anything.
An athlete or something. You know?
Yeah. Did you have that time where you were completely isolated and you kind of were left to get to know who you are for yourself, like get to build that relationship with yourself and find out that this is what you want to do? Have you had a moment like that before?
I think I have.
Tell me about that, bro.
I mean, I've had it at different points in time.
Because I'm having that right now, I think.
Right?
Yeah, I'm in that moment right now. They call it monk mode.
But tell me what's going on in your mind.
So whenever you want something to work out to be successful, you have to put everything into it while maintaining a certain level of detachment. Right? And I have... So for me, for example, there's been times when I've been so... And I did this with music. I was so into it, but I think I was a little too detached from it. So when I knew that I could have done better in some things, I would be like, no, like, this is going to work out. Or, you know, not everything has to be perfect. I don't have to put in my 100%. And I would be detached in that sense because maybe somewhere down the line, I was afraid of failing. Whereas now I'm in a moment where podcasting, for example, is something I'm detached from because I don't know the outcome of it. Like, I really have no idea where this podcast is going to lead at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But what I can do and what I can control is that I'm just going to put in everything I have, my time, my energy, and, you know, everything I have into it because I love having conversations with people. Like, this is something I love doing and I can just do it all the time and forever. And that's all I've ever loved to have done.
It's sort of what you do every day.
Yeah. It's
all
that's
day long.
My life, yeah. So we're the same. So it's something I love doing, and I'm kind of blindly having faith in God to take this podcast where God wants this podcast to go. But for me, I'm just, you know, because it's something I love, because it's something that gives me happiness, it's just what I'm going to do, and I'm just going to put in my 100%. And it's scary sometimes because I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the outcome. So you're in this adventure of, I have no idea what's going to happen. But you just try.
But you can never know. That's the whole thing.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. You can never know what may happen.
Yeah, exactly.
You can only choose to do what you want right now.
Yeah.
There's no point in stressing about what has already gone or what will come.
Or what will come, yeah. Going back to the topic, monk mode. It's something where you basically put distractions away. You take away the things in your life that could, you know, put you off of this path of focusing more on yourself and your mindset and all of these things. And you kind of isolate yourself in some ways to focus on something. So I feel like right now I'm in that stage. And I feel like whenever you want to be successful, whenever you want something to work out like really well, you have to some extent be in that mode where you're isolated and you're focused and you're spending a little bit more time alone to understand what you want from life, who you are, what you need to change about yourself. So when you were making content and you've kind of bridged, you've gone past a gap, right? That's like here being a content creator and doing everything. And then here where it's like, it's your life now, you're getting sponsorships, you're getting deals. People want to, you know, have you as their sponsor and you're doing all these amazing things. You have to cross that gap. So in order to cross that gap, you have to have that time where you're like, you have to work on yourself, work on your mentality and spend some time alone. Did you have that?
I think I had that. I've had that for a couple of times, but though I think the most impactful one was when I moved to Dubai. I was new here. I did not know many people. The only people I mean, apart from my family and a couple of friends that I have from back home here, apart from them, I only had the people I knew at the cafe I was working at.
Yeah.
So, and that's when I started making these videos.
Mm.
And they blew up.
Mm.
And that gave me some time to, you know, just be with myself. Was again like when I say I was new to Dubai, I was exploring it, so that got me my mind thinking like what I can make out of it in terms of content. I mean, then I had moved to the new home, so that gave me the opportunity to make video
on that.
Those are some of my most successful videos, how do I say it, viral videos.
Yeah. So I want to talk about that a little bit.
Talk
to me about that first viral video, the one that got, I think, 1 million views to start with at the time. Now it's probably at more.
Now it's at 2.6.
Wow, yeah. Okay. But it's a privilege to be sitting with you right now.
Fuck.
But, okay, so tell me about that video, man. Why do you think... So that was the first video. Talk to me about what is that video exactly for the people that haven't seen it.
The first video, I mean, that's not the first video.
Mm.
That's like my fourth or fifth video, but that is the one that blew up, like super blew up.
Okay, what are the ones that blew up but not super?
They all did relatively well, actually.
Okay.
They all did relatively
well. All over 1 million?
No, like 500,000.
Okay.
700,000. So they're all relatively well.
Yeah. So what made those videos?
I think so. Okay.
What were they about, those videos, for the people that
just
haven't seen them?
They're just my... So I'll give you a little bit of backstory. Ever since I was back home in Mumbai, I was dabbling with the idea of making vlogs. Little short stories from my life, or from my everyday life, rather. But I did not know where to start that journey from. I wanted to have a pivoting point, like a proper beginning of the story, sort of. So moving to Dubai served that. I thought this is a good time to start. And I started making videos about my life. That I have just landed here. I have got a job. And I'm trying to make something out of my life. I have come here with millions of hopes and dreams. And let's see. Time will tell. So, and then I started making videos. One video I had made was about getting my very first salary. And my cousin was hosting me for the first few weeks I was with him. So I just got a little something from the supermarket for him, like mangoes and chocolates. Then I made one video about looking for homes in Dubai. That was also an experience, because homes can be expensive. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Even the smallest of them can be expensive here. So one of them was about that. And the video that we were just talking about, the one that blew up, was the house tour of my very first home. It was a partition, and I made a video about that. That this is my home. It's a shared thing. It's like a very tiny bedroom, but the kitchen and the other common areas are shared. And it just blew up.
I have my own reason as to why I think you blew up, and as to why I think your content is so needed in Dubai. I swear to God, I am so grateful that there's someone like you in Dubai making content and that has made videos like that. I have a very specific reason as to why I think you've blown up and why people like you. And I'm going to give a small part of it, but I want to get your perspective on it, on those videos exactly, right? So, everyone loves a story. Like, everyone wants to be there at the beginning of someone's story.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
they want to be there to kind of see where it started. And these are such wholesome videos, right? Like, you've just moved to Dubai.
I've been told,
You're buying, like, mangoes and a chocolate for someone. Like, you come to a place like Dubai, and everyone knows Dubai for luxury. Everyone knows Dubai for expensive cars, expensive food, lifestyle, like fashion, and all these things. And here you are coming to Dubai, and you're like, there's this whole side to Dubai that not many people from other countries know about.
Yeah.
And it's also wholesome and loving and, you know, just genuine. So there's another part to why I think you've blown up, but I want to ask you first.
Hmm.
Why do you think those videos blew up?
Back when I was making them, I did not know this, but I think they were relatable. A lot of people found it relatable. People who are already living here in the UAE might have thought that, you know, a lot of them have gone through the same journey, who moved from another country, not for the ones who grew up here. And for the ones who grew up here, they were looking at, for some, it was a different side of Dubai. They had never seen. And for some, they said, yes, this is the reality, but nobody's talking about it.
Okay. So that's why you think you blew up.
I think so.
Yeah, I think my, what I love about your content and why I think your content is so special is because I think you represent a minority in Dubai that people don't get to see. Coming from India, I think people just think Dubai is this luxury and, you know, it's this place with just so much money and everyone's rich. And when I was in the UK, that's what people said to me. When I told them I'm from Dubai, they're like, oh, do you have a Ferrari?
Of course.
First thing. And it's crazy that people actually think that. People think that you're like super rich no matter what your actual condition is. And I think that's a misinterpretation of Dubai, because yes, Dubai has that. Dubai has all these things. But then there is a, you know, a large group of people that don't have that and that live in very tough conditions. And a lot of them don't get the appreciation because they're the ones that are running the city, right? They're the ones doing all the construction work. They're the ones spending, you know, they're the ones making the city what it is.
A lot of them are working in construction industries, or rather service industries.
Yeah,
because a huge part of this, I feel a huge part of the people living here work in service jobs.
Yeah.
Because tourism is a service industry, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
I think those people would be really insecure about showing their real life because it's not the most lavish. It's not the most luxurious.
Yeah, but I think reality is all you have. Be real.
And I think that's what's so good about your content. That's why I love it, because it's like you didn't care what your environment looked like. You didn't care what situation you're in. You're like, this is my reality right now.
Yeah.
And this is where I am. And I want to share that. Why did you post those videos? Was it just because you wanted people to see your lifestyle? Was there like a multitude of reasons?
No. I it would look like I had, but I was not thinking back then. I had no thought. I was just thinking of making content. I had genuinely thought so I did not start my TikTok with these videos. I was posting a different sort of like a automated voice.
Yeah.
That sort of videos, like sort of a puns sort of videos. If you go way down in my feed, you'll find them. So that's how it started. But I wanted to, like I said, pivot. And I've been looking at making vlogs for a long time. And moving to Dubai served a good starting point. Served as a good starting point. So I just thought I will make few videos. When I started making these videos, I had like 140 or 150 followers. Okay. So I thought, even if like one of these videos works, others don't, whatever, I will keep gaining like 10, 15 followers with each video. I had no idea that it would just blow up, skyrocket.
Skyrocket. Yeah. So I have a question. I have two questions, actually.
Yeah.
First question is, when did you know that this is it for me? Like, this is what I'm going to do. I want to be a full-time content creator. When did you take that leap of faith?
I mean, I always sort of wanted to be, depending on the income from content creation, to sustain myself. So that thought was always there in the back of my head.
Yeah.
But I think after getting the first brand deal, along with getting fired for the first time.
For the first time.
Yeah, so that sort of happened in the same week.
Okay. No way.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a bittersweet moment. Like, yeah. Wow, there's all these amazing things. Ooh, but, okay, I believe that life always, and God, always gives you direction and blessings.
I feel so too as well, yes.
Because that's an important week in your life. You get a brand deal, yes, and you get fired. I feel like that's just a sign, right?
Yeah. I
if
think
that's
so.
Not a sign,
yeah,
then I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Right? That's like a sign from God that's like, AT, do this.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you got your first brand deal, that's when you knew like, this is it for me. This is
no,
what
I did not know, but I wanted to take that leap of faith.
Okay.
That's actually a problem with me that I cannot, you know, even if I try to plan, you know, like to a T, I cannot do that. Mm. I cannot see very far into the future. Like try to project, you know. So I just take a leap of faith.
How has the purpose and intention with what you make your content, how has that changed? What was it? It used to be, I want to make money, I want to show my life.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're saying your videos are relatable. Now you're saying that your videos represent something. So how has the purpose and what makes your content, the skins and the cells and, you know, the heart behind it, mm-hmm, how has that changed?
So now I try to make my videos with a tone of, with an undertone of gratitude.
Okay.
Because I think that is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
All of us should do that.
Mm.
But I'm not trying to preach or inspire or influence anybody. I'm just sharing my life.
Mm.
So and that will always be there. I'm just trying to share my life, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The reality of it.
Why gratitude?
It's important.
Is it a huge part of your life?
For sure it is.
And has there... I mean, everyone thinks of gratitude being like, you know, something that they need to lead with, something they need to have more of probably. In journals, you have, you know, everyone has this list of 5 things you're grateful for.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is there a moment in your life specifically that made you think, I need to be more grateful?
I think it stems from... You don't know what you have until you don't have it.
Mm. Yeah, that's so true.
It's more about that than... And I think... See, we all have things that we want. But we also have a lot of things that many other people want. It might not make sense, but you know, all I'm trying to say is we should be grateful for the things or the life we have.
Mm.
Because you might think you have it rough, but... You don't know how bad it is for someone else.
Why did you choose gratitude for the undertone of your videos?
I did not choose that. It just sort of came out of it.
Mm.
Now I am actively trying to do it. In the beginning, it was just a part of it. I did not even know it was there.
I love that you can be so oblivious to these things. That like
I know.
You're so raw and genuine. And later on, you realize, oh, this is why maybe. You know?
Mm.
Like... You're living in this really tough environment, and I'm sure there must have been some comments under that video that I can't believe this is where he lives. There's no way that's
sure.
In Dubai,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Because you're living in an environment that people would think is tough, like a, you know, an uncomfortable environment.
Yeah.
But you were still grateful for it.
And to be very honest, I was not very uncomfortable with it.
Mm.
I mean, I might have been uncomfortable with the washroom.
Having to share that with a bunch
of people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But apart from that, I was actually comfortable there.
I want to talk about a quote that I've heard you say before.
Tell me.
What you have been handed is not what you could be looking for, but it's something and you can make something out of it.
Yeah.
This is a quote that you said to me the first time we met.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
You can't control what you've been given, but you can control how you react to it. Mm. Right? You can keep whining about it, or you can go to work and make something out of it. I mean, I know it's very easier said than done.
But you've done it.
I still don't think so.
Mm.
Because there are a lot of things remaining and I could be doing so much more, which I'm not. Because ultimately, I think it's a tendency. I think it's a human tendency to get comfortable with where you are. And stop, putting in the effort. But you should be doing that, I feel.
Do you have that balance between content and complacent, because there are two things that are so similar.
Yeah.
And there's a very fine line between being content, which is happy with what you have, and, you know, being comfortable with that, and then being complacent, which is where you're like,
I'm good. I'll be staying here. I don't want to move anything.
Yeah. Anywhere. Have you found out that line yet?
No, I have not.
Okay. It's a tough line.
I always feel I'm being complacent rather than being content.
Mm.
There are times when I'm very grateful for the things. And I, even sitting with you right now is one of those, because believe me, there was a time when I used to watch this podcast called Dostcast. I don't know if you heard about it.
Dost means friends in Hindi.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a very clever name if you think about it.
Yeah. Really good name.
Yeah. So they've been popping up a lot. They were popping up a lot when I, like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago.
Mm.
Again, this was back in India. And I was thinking that, so what exactly are these people doing? Because whatever content I looked at and still look at, I try to deconstruct it in my head, that what is the purpose of it? Why are they doing it? What I can get out of it, and how to make it. That's the important bit.
Mm.
So I was thinking that, you know, it would be fun. And now I have the opportunity to be on podcasts. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And even having, like, I used to watch so many people, you know, make podcasts. And I was like, oh, one day when I'm rich and I'm successful and, you know, I've done all these amazing things, I'm going to have a podcast.
Any particular podcaster that you look up to? Yeah, like for inspiration.
Recently, and I know this is kind of basic, but Joe Rogan, just because what I love about his podcast is that he brings people that are experts in the fields that he is interested about.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has so many things that he is interested in. I never used to have that before. I was interested in mental health and spirituality, and that was it. I just didn't really care about anything else. I never read the news. I never knew what's happening in the world. Those were the only topics that I was, like, really, like, you know, inspired by. And so I stuck to them. But over time, what I've learned from him and from a bunch of other podcasters is that even though this podcast is about capturing inspiring people and their journeys, that it doesn't have to be with, you know, mental health practitioners. It can be with anyone, because any journey is inspirational.
Yeah.
Today, I have you. You're a lifestyle content creator.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a mental health professional, and I'm not a lifestyle content creator. So we don't necessarily know everything about our professions.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we can't have a good conversation, because I'm very interested about you as a person and what it took for you to get here. And so I think that's what he has. And because of that, it's inspired me now to have all different types of guests. So people doing things I'm interested in. So yeah, that's someone that inspires me. What do you think makes a successful content creator? Because there's so many people doing so many different things. I feel like the market is oversaturated. Everyone's a content creator now. Everyone's making reels. Everyone's making TikToks. So what do you think makes someone a successful content creator?
I mean, if we go down to the nitty-gritty, I think it's the numbers that make you a content creator. But at heart, I think you should know how to tell a story or how to make a video that will keep the viewer watching. It doesn't have to be super complicated or super easy or whatever, you know. There's no one thing that you can do or one formula that you can stick to.
Mm.
But at the base of it, I think you should know how to tell a story and keep a person's attention.
Mm.
So then you can be a content creator.
Mm.
I think a lot of people can be content creators, but they're not making content. As in, if somebody is very good at a conversation, at holding a conversation, then they can do it over the internet. Can't they?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, of course.
It's about just holding the person's attention who's watching your video.
Mm.
They should feel like they're there.
What do you think holds people back then?
first off, maybe they're just downright, they're not interested. They don't give a shit about making content. They're just interested in doing what they're doing. And if they're interested, and the reason they might not be making is maybe because they're insecure. I mean, I was there. I still am kind of there.
How did you get over it at the time?
I'm still in the process of doing that.
How are you doing it?
So I'm trying to make, for me, insecurity stems from being in front of the camera. Not like this, but when I'm speaking to it and trying to showcase something about my life. That's the reason I do voiceovers and not talk directly into the camera.
Really?
Yeah, that's okay. How it started.
Okay.
The only reason I showed my face, I mean, in a few clips here and there, was because I was saying I'm 80.
Yeah.
And I wanted people to understand and know who's 80 or what is 80.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I showed my face. Otherwise, I would have not showed my face at all.
No way.
The idea was that I wanted it to be... I wanted people to experience the story. Like, look at my life from my point of view. You see the clips I take?
Yeah. It's not like, look at me. It's like, look at my environment. Or look what's around me.
Yeah. No, experience it through my lens.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
But how are you beating that insecurity now?
So I'm trying to... So I've been learning that, you know, it would be helpful in the long run. And if I'm wanting to make a different sort of content, which I'm trying to experiment with now, I feel like the vlogs are reaching a point of saturation. So I want to experiment more with my content. So for that, I want to be in front of the camera. But I am kind of insecure about that. So I'm trying to lean into it more. The only way of getting over it is trying to do it. There's no other way around it.
Yeah.
Doing it enough so that I'm confident in myself when I'm speaking to the camera.
Yeah. Because you want people to know who you are, what you look like.
Actually, that's not my intention. I'm just trying to make a different kind of a couple of different sort of videos, different genres, explainer sort of videos. And for them, I would have to be in front of the camera. It just makes more sense in my head. That is the way it should be produced.
The second question is, you said, I love creating content. What do you love about it?
Telling the story aspect of it and then people reacting to it. I don't care if the reaction is negative or not as what I had, not as per my expectations. But I like getting feedback. So, two things. Storytelling and getting feedback.
That's an interesting thing. Storytelling. It's not something I've thought about. Honestly, it's not something I've thought about a lot in my content. But I guess...
Think about it. See, think about it. Content has been around for only the last 10 or 15 years, if we count YouTube also. Because it's been around since, I think, 2005 or 6. But we've been telling stories for millennia now. Just the format has changed.
Shakespeare, through poems, like, everything. That's a story.
Go even movies. Back. Ancient texts. A lot of languages that we cannot read. We don't know how to read.
They're all stories, yeah.
The cave paintings.
Wow. Yeah. Even in the pyramids, right? The hieroglyphics, that's a story. Wow. So stories are something that we've always just had.
I've been thinking about that. See, the reason I was able to say this is because I've been thinking about it lately. I mean, all of us have self-doubt. Even I do. So I've been thinking, what am I doing making these videos? Maybe I should get a job. I should look at a career.
Yeah.
Things I've dabbled with. We all have dabbled with.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that, yeah, but this is the format of making content is new. But the thing that I'm doing is not new.
Yeah.
People have been doing that for a long time. And maybe there is a future in this. For me, I mean.
That's interesting because it's something people have been doing all the time, but you're just doing something. You're doing the same thing people have done, but in a completely different way.
Yeah.
In a way that's progressive.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe there's going to be another way to share stories in the future, to create a story in the future that doesn't involve movies and podcasting and content. Yeah, we never know. Okay, bro, back. I want to pivot a little bit to the story of being in Dubai. Was it always easy for you to move in to Dubai? Because I know you said
No, of course not.
Tell me about that, because I know you said that you were talking about how living in that environment, it wasn't the hardest for you. You know, people would think it's very uncomfortable and difficult, but for you, it was not that hard, minus the bathroom part.
Yeah.
Right? But was it always... So you said it wasn't always easy for you.
Because moving to Dubai would still requires a job for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that is what I tried doing as well. But I couldn't find a job. Mm. I couldn't land a job, rather. I was interviewed by a bunch of companies, but nothing ever came up. So I had visited here like two times, once in 2019 and once in 2021. But nothing came out of those visits. But I think from my second visit, my TikTok came out of it.
Mm.
That is when I had made TikTok. And a couple of my videos had blew up back then.
Mm.
The automated voice ones, the ones I was telling you about.
Yeah.
And that is how I had gained like 110, 120 followers. Later on, which became 140.
Mm.
So when I came back, when I finally had a job, I landed this job in the board game cafe from Mumbai. My cousin, he's into board games. So he informed me that, you are in groups with people from similar backgrounds, right?
Mm.
So these guys from the cafe were in the same WhatsApp group with my cousin.
Ah, got it. Okay.
Yeah. So my cousin sells board games. He has a board game business.
Wow. No way.
Yeah.
What's the name of his business?
Board game company.
You're joking.
Fuck yes.
Oh my God. Okay. So
except they're not calling it board. Like, not the board, but board. B-O-R-E-D. Board.
B-O-R-E-D. Oh, okay. That's interesting.
I've been fascinated with their name.
Board game company. I love that. Simple. Wow.
I think that's on point branding.
Yeah, I like that. It's like you're bored, but also board game.
Company.
That's smart. I like that.
Yeah. I told you it would be very obvious.
Shout out to your cousin.
Yeah.
So going back to gratitude, there's a quote that I have written and I don't want to go past it. But it's a quote that talks about happiness and gratitude. It says that it is not happiness that brings us gratitude, but it's gratitude that brings us happiness.
I said that?
I found that.
Okay. That was the first time.
He's like, wait, I said that? That's actually really philosophical.
Yeah. And the first time I was hearing about it.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but that makes sense.
It's true, right? It's like, I think people think that, but I have nothing. I'm not happy right now. How can I be grateful? But it's like, maybe it's not. You don't have to be happy in order for you to appreciate the things around you.
Yeah.
But it's maybe appreciating the things around you
that will make you happy. Again, believe me, this is for everyone. Literally, a person with the least to the person with who's wealthy. Just look around you. You have loved ones. Or the air in your lungs. You know, there is always something to be grateful about.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I've done this before, but what are five things that you're really grateful for?
First is obviously, I think, my life and where I am today.
Yeah.
I feel I'm in a very fortunate and lucky position.
Mm.
So
this podcast. No, I'm joking. Yeah.
Of course. No, of course. Alhamdulillah.
Your life, yeah.
I think I'm grateful for all the people I meet. And of course, my family.
Mm.
So I did not choose to meet those people, but I met them directly.
Yeah.
But also the people, the friends I have met in Dubai. You included.
Oh, thanks, man.
For real. I'm not just saying because I'm on your podcast.
That's sweet. I don't think you have a choice.
No, I feel... I feel you're a deep person, you know?
Yeah.
That can hold a conversation. Thanks, and that's man. A very good quality to have.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm grateful for my golden visa.
Mm, that's a big one.
Yes, that's a big
one. Wow.
Alhamdulillah. I wanted that for a long time. Yeah. I was thinking about it. So, yeah.
I have never thought about that. But yeah.
No, because see, moving to Dubai was a dream. Yeah. And how do you stay in Dubai? You need a visa.
Yeah.
And I always had this...
Or if you're a billionaire, then you get the Dubai passport. The UAE
you
passport.
You can do that? You can get that?
If you're a billionaire, they'll give you a passport, bro.
So then the question is, how do you become a billionaire?
Create lifestyle content. On a board game company, maybe?
Yeah. Or maybe also try to sell something.
Yeah.
I'm literally thankful for everything, I feel. So, I don't know. I think I'm also grateful for my health, actually.
Mm.
That is something we ignore a lot of times.
Mm.
I'm healthy, I'm fit, I'm good. When I said like content creation is a part of my life, and I said I'm grateful for my life, so that's what I meant. But I think I'm specifically also grateful that I'm getting paid for what I've always wanted to do, getting this opportunity and getting a chance to do it in the city where I've always dreamt of living. My dream job, living in my dream city.
Yeah, a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah.
Throughout everything you were saying, there was one thing that came up to me, which I'm grateful for. I think when you're in Dubai, other than Islam, you hear the words Alhamdulillah. Am I saying it right?
Alhamdulillah.
And Mashallah.
Oh yeah, how can you forget?
Mashallah. Inshallah. Like all these words. And yeah. I swear, I see so many people from all different cultures and all different religions say these words.
They just say it, yeah.
And I say it too, right? Mm. But everything you have, everything I have in my life is all from the will of God.
Yes.
So one thing I'm so grateful for is God, because in this journey of being a content creator, of podcasting, whatever it is, other than, you know, people around you that can be there, it's kind of like, for anything you want in your life, it's kind of like teamwork with God.
Yes.
And I know that's a big part of your life. I don't know if you've spoken about it a lot, but from our conversations, I know it's a big part of your life. But taking that aside, you've done some amazing things. You've gotten millions of views. You've done interviews with Love in Dubai. You've done an interview with them. That's a huge thing, bro.
I was so excited for that one.
Right? It's a big one, man. I would love to do something like that. It's amazing. I wanted to ask you, to who or to what do you owe this success to? Is it to yourself? What is it to?
To Allah, obviously.
Hmm.
I mean, who am I?
Not because we just talked about God, but in general, like...
No, in general, I'm saying, like, who am I or what am I?
Hmm.
Nothing. I'm only here because Allah has willed me, willed for it to be like that. I don't know if I'm saying it that right.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was Allah's will. That's what I'm trying to say.
God willing, right?
God willing, Allah's yes, will. Of course.
Okay, do you think you have a purpose? Or what do you think your purpose is?
I haven't found my purpose yet.
Hmm.
But, and I don't know if this would be, this is the purpose of my life. But if I would like to do something, not just for myself, but for helping others, and try to better other people's lives, if I can, inshallah.
I feel like that's what we're all here for.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you see, if you're fortunate enough, nobody needs a huge amount of wealth or anything.
Mm.
If you have it, share it. You should be helping others. You should be sharing it with others.
Mm.
So, inshallah, if I'm ever in that sort of a position, that's what I would like to do.
How much of everything you have today in terms of your career do you think is God?
I think 100%.
You think?
Yeah.
Because this is an interesting question, an interesting thing that I have. You think that 100% of your life and everything you have is from God?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So where does that leave?
Like, I think...
Where does that leave you to do things? Yeah.
So see, this is how I perceive things in my life.
Mm.
That you get ideas of doing this, doing that whole day long.
Yeah.
But you don't end up acting on most of them.
Yeah.
But the ones you end up acting on, they make you who you are and they make your life.
Mm.
And you only end up acting on them because God allowed you to. Or He willed that for you. Because there was a time in my life when I thought I could be an engineer. I mean, I obviously did not. I'm sitting here.
The classic Indian dream.
Actually, no, not because of that.
Mm.
Because I was interested in phones since a very early time. Like, I think since I was 11 or 12 years old, I've been fascinated with phones.
Mm.
The last 3 or 4 years of Nokias, I was fascinated by them, how phones worked. So I wanted to be an engineer and work in R&D. But that obviously did not end up happening.
Yeah.
So my point is that, you know, you think of doing this, doing that, being that person, being in a place with a certain amount of fame, money, whatever. And it might happen, it might not happen.
Mm. So you said you don't know your purpose, but you believe you have one?
I think everybody has one.
So do you think you have the ability to choose your purpose? Or is it given to you?
I think that depends on your position. I mean, maybe sometimes you are just handed it. You don't have a choice.
Mm.
And sometimes you choose it for yourself.
I feel like it's teamwork, bro. It's like you have this image of, I think we all have a general purpose where it's like, know God, love God, worship God, which means be nice to everyone, you know, all the basic things you're meant to do.
That each and every religion teaches you.
Each and every religion teaches you service and all of these things. And then I think the way in which you choose to live your purpose every day, the way in which you choose to make money, why you make the money at the end of the day, all of that is in your control.
Yeah.
So God gives you this idea where He's like, okay, I want you to do this. How you choose to do it, that's up to you. But this is what I want you to do.
Yeah, that's what free will is.
Free will, exactly. Because I think some people, when it's like, everything is God's thing, but it's like, okay, where does that leave room for you to do something, right?
So that's why you have the guidelines as well, right?
Yeah. And guidelines are just there to...
And I mean, I'm talking about the religious guidelines.
Yeah.
Regardless of if you are a Hindu, Christian, Muslim.
Mm.
All the religions teach you the same thing, that help others. Like you just said, service of other people.
Love, acceptance, justice. Like, yeah, all these things. So, yeah, because I think it's like teamwork, right? It's like, I think we have this image of how things are meant to be.
Yeah.
And we create this narrative and this story and we expect it to go exactly that way. And when it doesn't go that way, we get confused. But it's like, who said it's going to be exactly like that?
Yeah.
No one did. Even in this journey of podcasting, it's like, okay, this is what I want. I'm going to create like a pitch of what I think, how things should go, how I want things to go, where it's going to be and everything. And I'm going to put it there. Now, it's your job, almost like a father, to basically tell me yes and no without me being able to, you know, make that budget. It's like, this is what I think. Now it's time for you to think. And then you just work your way around it.
Yeah.
And you have that attachment where you're like, this is my plan. This is what I'm doing. But then you have detachment to be like, this is what I've put up there. This is what I've told God. This is what I want. This is how I want it. Now I leave the rest up to you. But leaving the rest up to you and that detachment isn't, I'm not going to care about it. No, you still have to care about it. But it's about the way in which it happens is out of my control.
Yeah.
The thing I want, I'll probably get it. But the way I get it, it may not be how I thought.
I think I really like what you said.
Mm.
I think the simplest way of putting it is, if I want to get somewhere, the first thing I have to do is get up, get out of this chair and leave. Then I can keep on exploring my options.
Mm.
Whether I want to walk all the way, whether I want to take the bus, take the metro. You know, it's like just getting from point A to point B, but in your life.
Mm.
So depending on the situation, you will do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes you might find that if you have to walk a very long way in a sunny weather, it will get somehow it will get cloudy.
Yeah.
So that's God helping you.
Mm.
Yeah, making your journey easier for you.
Mm.
Or if you have a very long walk ahead of you to the metro, somebody might come and help you.
Yeah.
Give you a lift.
Or give you some advice. So there might be something in that walk. I think there's this quote that I really love, and it says that when humans make plans, God laughs. And I think it's
I've heard that one.
I think it's this really interesting thing where we have an ego, right? We have this thing that's within us, and you know that we try our best not to listen to and be controlled by. But our ego loves to create a narrative, right? We have this outside world that we technically have no control over, but our mind has an internal dialogue where it's constantly describing and it's constantly talking about everything in your environment.
Yeah.
You can't control anything on the outside, but you can control stuff on the inside.
Yeah.
So when you're walking and it's really cold, you can't change the temperature of the world and, you know, the fact that it's snowing, but you can say in your mind, oh, it's so cold. I'm really, you know, this is really tough. And you're like, oh, but I'm almost home. So that's your way of gaining control over the situation, right? And I think that this is the thing. Life is a huge adventure, but we try to kill that. Our ego tries to kill that adventure by creating a narrative of how it wants things to do in order for it to gain control. And your ability to be detached while putting your heart and soul into something is your faith in God.
Yeah. That's actually a beautiful way of seeing it. I was feeling a little sad thinking about, you know, how our expectations and egos ruin almost everything.
Mm.
All good things.
Sometimes I wonder, why is it so hard? I'm saying this in the podcast setting, right? And I know this.
Yeah.
But I know sometime this week, maybe sometime next month or this month, there's going to be a time when I'm just struggling and I'm like, why? So it's like, why is it so hard to remember to be detached? Why is it so hard to remember these things that we're talking about in the moment? And maybe we have to go through the struggle because it teaches us at the end of the day, right?
I think that's the whole point of going through things.
To learn and grow.
Some things cannot be... You can try to learn. You can be ready for them in your head. But nothing will teach you the way life teaches you. Like, you know, being in that actual situation, experiencing it, that will... The way that teaches you, nothing can prepare you for that.
Mm. Okay. I feel like this... We've talked so much about positivity and I love it.
Yeah.
I want to know... Is there a dark side to content creation or being a content creator?
I think I do find myself under pressure sometimes to create content because the landscape of short format video is such that it requires you to keep making videos very frequently.
Mm.
And because of that, sometimes your brain is just not working, you know. You don't feel creative enough to be writing a script or making a video, or you just don't want to edit. You just want to have a day off sometimes or a few hours off. But you have to go to work regardless.
Yeah.
So that's one thing for me, I think.
Mm.
But I also love the pressure.
Because you have to make it work, right? You don't have a job that has income coming in. So you're like, this is all I have and I have to make this work.
And I have, no, yes, that's there. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I think sometimes. But I also appreciate this because how can I be lacking? Because this is what I wanted to do for a long time. How can I be lacking in this?
Yeah. I have two segments in this podcast.
Okay.
The first segment is Daily Reflections. This is a new segment in the podcast where I essentially take out words literally from my journal. Today I didn't bring my journal, but I brought a paper where I wrote it. So I'm going to read out something that I wrote this week in my journal. And essentially what I would want to do is maybe just talk to you about it, see what you think about it, or you can make fun of me for it, whatever you choose.
Okay.
So I always say I'm busy, or at least I feel busy. Thing is, if I can't handle everything going on in my life right now, how will I be able to handle more? If I constantly strive for success, and if I constantly want success, if I want a successful podcast, that's going to require for me to do more. Life seems to give me all of these things to handle, and sometimes, honestly, I just get burnt out and say, this is all too much for me, I can't handle it. But then there's a part of me that always wants more. If I want more, I'm going to have to create space in my life for God to give me more. If I want more, I have to stop saying that I can't, and I have to stop saying no, but I have to see how I can get more. I need to start looking to create more space in my life. So that's something I wrote last week, because I think, like I said, I'm always constantly complaining, like, I have so much to do, I have so much to do. But then there's a part of us that always wants more, right? So I think maybe you have to create because I'm still learning, right? I'm just learning. This is something I wrote a few days ago. You have to create, if you always want more, like let's say you want success, you need to create space in your life for more, for God to be like, because I always think it's teamwork with God. You say you want something, God puts you in a situation, and the way you react to that situation is you showing God if you're deserving, if you're ready for this.
Yeah.
And so if I say I want success, for example, I want a successful podcast. Okay, what does that mean? It means having to find more guests. It means having to take time to interact with people, to create an idea of what I want the episode to be like, to do all of this, you know, to create space in my life. And if I'm always saying, I can't handle this, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do that, that's just constantly what I'm saying to myself.
That's negativity.
It's negativity, but it's also me telling God, I'm not ready for this. Right? Sort of. So if you, what I'm thinking is, if you say you want something, you need to be ready for it. For example, if I want to be in a relationship, I need to have time and space in my life where I can dedicate time and love. But right now, I don't think I have that, which is why I'm not in a romantic relationship, because I don't have that energy right now. So I think you need to create a space in your life. Create a space in your life for you. If you want more from life and you ask for more from life, you need to create space in your life.
Create room for that.
Room for that, yeah. Yeah, that's what I've been thinking recently.
But, I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And I think you... how long have you been journaling?
3 years.
Yeah, you've gotten good at it.
I don't know if there's a good or bad.
No, I mean, the way you tried... The way you managed to gather your thoughts, I like that. I was really... invested in what you're reading. Believe me,
I create a good story?
Yes, you were. You had my attention.
Content creator.
But apart from that, what you just said, I think that's really true. Because you need to be in the accepting mindset. I don't know if that makes sense. When that opportunity finally does come.
Yeah.
If you're too tied down by other things, would you be able to make the most out of it?
No. That's why I don't think that if you don't have something in your life, I think that the reason you don't have it is either because it's not something you need, it's not something that's good for you and for humanity, that if you have it, or you're not ready for it. And if there's anything in life that you want and you don't have it, rather than asking yourself, oh, why don't I have it? Like, maybe I don't deserve it, all this. Be like, what do I need in order to deserve that thing? And then work your way through that. So, for example, romantic relationships for me is one. And I don't think I'm ready for it because I need to learn a lot about love. And so what I did was essentially, I was like, okay, there's this thing that I want and I don't have it.
Okay.
Everyone around me starting to get it. It's not my time. What can I do? Okay, let me focus on doing this podcasting, let me focus on my job, let me focus on these things, let me focus on creating a routine. Because now, let's say if I wanted to be in a romantic relationship, I would struggle to give time. Honestly, I would, without everything else falling apart. So right now, what I'm doing is I'm preparing for that. So I'm creating a routine where everything is kind of under my control and I feel comfortable. Once I have that, then I'm going to open for time and space that I could dedicate towards someone. And I'm reading Jay Shetty's book 8 Rules of Love, which is like really good.
What does it say?
It's a book about how to find love, how to keep it, and how to let it go if it's that time. And right now I'm on a journey, honestly, of getting to know myself and learning to love being alone.
That's very important, actually.
You know, because
you should be comfortable being alone.
People really struggle with being alone. And I think it's because everyone is alone to some extent.
Yeah.
The strength of being alone is solitude. The weakness of being alone is loneliness. And you can convert loneliness into solitude. And so right now, I've always been afraid to be alone. I've always been afraid to be alone or lonely. But now I think I'm learning to change that loneliness into solitude. Yeah. Which is why on the weekends, this is actually something I wanted to talk about. On the weekends, every week, there's something I have to do. I like to spend 2 or 3 hours where I just have no contact with anyone and I essentially take myself on a date. And I read, reflect, write, read, reflect, write. I do it for like 2 or 3 hours. And the best, okay, this is what I find. This is something that I actually really recommend everyone should do. So throughout the week, you end up giving your energy to something, right? You give your energy to people, your environment, all of that.
The work.
Work. Sometimes you need to disconnect with the world to connect with yourself.
Yeah.
And so that's why on the weekend for 2-3 hours, that's what I do. I'll read and I'll reflect and I'll write on my journal. And that's usually whenever I film this segment of the podcast, it's based on that.
Mm.
You'll find that for the first hour or two, all the things that happened throughout the week, the person that you were, you know, you were throughout the week, the emotions that made you who you are, for the first hour, they start to go away. Everything you were thinking about, they start to go away. They start to go away. First hour. Second hour, you have more clarity in your mind. By the 3rd or 4th hour, you're left with just yourself and your true essence. And I think you need to spend time in that solitude moment because that's who you truly are. And that's when you should make decisions. That's the mindset you should have. Because a lot of us do things, a lot of us behave in a certain way, and our behaviors are motivated by fear and desire. Desire to get something, desire to have sex, desire to, you know, not be alone, all these things. And then there's fear of being alone. I fear not being successful, I fear. But fear or desire are both emotions that you should not use. They shouldn't motivate your actions. So for me, that's essentially why I do this.
So but what really should motivate it. Your actions?
What should motivate your actions is...
There has to be a motivation, right?
I think love. I think love. A lot of people, it's always intention. I think a lot of people do nice things because sometimes they're afraid. I think a lot of people in romantic relationships, they give so much love. They shower the person with love. Because somewhere deep down in your subconscious mind, because you haven't healed from trauma or your childhood or whatever, you know, parenting style your parents had, you're afraid to be alone. So you do things and you shower people with love. And that's what I always used to do. Overcompensating because I'm so afraid of being alone. So I'll do everything I possibly can to make sure that never happens. And I remember doing that in relationships all the time, in friendships, in romantic relationships.
Trying to make the other person... stay or keep them around
exactly
for as long as you can.
Exactly. And now I'm trying my best to not let fear and desire consume me, and I'm trying to be mindful. I think this is what journaling and meditation, which is another habit that I have, and it's really good. It teaches you that you have to be mindful over what is controlling your actions, what is the mind saying. And it's to, between that moment of thought and action, it's that moment in between those things to really think, why am I doing this and should I do this? That's what meditation and journaling taught me. And I'm still learning, but yeah.
That's something I'm yet to learn, honestly.
That's my advice to you, actually. Like, I can give you all the advice in the world, but awareness and mindfulness are the two things that will really, really change your life and to Yeah, that's the only advice I can give you. And my two best ways to do that is mindful meditation and journaling. All right, so next segment of the podcast is, do you know what? I don't even remember what I called it last time. But the name of the segment is Late Night Thoughts. And this is a segment made by my podcast manager, Yasmin. Thank you for these questions. So these questions are questions that I have never seen.
You don't know about them.
No idea what they
are. Will you be answering one as well?
I will be answering all of them. So we take one each. Okay?
Okay.
And you give me yours, I'll give you mine, and then we answer.
Oh, wait. I read it and give it to you.
You read it, you just say it out loud, basically.
Okay.
So you take one of these, you say the question out loud, I'll answer yours, you answer yours. I'll have one, and I'll answer mine, and you answer mine as well. I feel like that made that very complicated.
Yeah. You read yours first.
This is so funny.
No, yeah. You read yours first.
What is the most impressive animal you think you could beat in a fight?
Most impressive animal? Ant.
Why is that the most impressive?
It is minuscule, tiny. But it can wreak havoc on the person. Like, it can literally go inside their ears, nose.
Fair. Okay.
And again, because of its size, it's very... For it, it is very easy to hide. Or escape.
And animals.
Or an eagle. I just like eagles.
You think you could... You like them, so you would fight them?
No, I like... Which animal would you be?
Which animal... What is the most impressive animal that you think you could beat in a fight?
That I could beat? Oh, I thought the other way around.
Because I thought you said ant, and I'm like...
Oh, no, no.
I kill hundreds of them a day, bro, so...
No. So I had it wrong, okay. I don't know. Impressive animal that I could beat. I guess another way of looking at ants is what you just said.
I was like, okay, fair.
Fuck no. No.
I was like, that's not that impressive, bro.
Let's see. What would yours be?
It's tough because I'm thinking of like animals that are like a little bit smaller than me, right? So like monkeys or something.
Can be a bigger one as well.
But the thing is, a monkey can just take your head and rip it apart so easily, shit. Right?
But we're only talking about the bigger monkeys.
No, bro. Even the small ones, they're so strong, bro. They're so strong. They could just...
The smaller one cannot, I don't think so.
Okay. You do that. Try to fight one. We'll see.
I'm good.
We'll see if you make it for the next episode of the podcast to come again. I have to be careful because I can't say dog. That's just like, oh, it's such a cute animal.
Why would you want to fight a dog?
Okay, but I could easily like pick a fight with a dog. Depending on the dog, but I could easily beat a dog. Maybe not one of those army dogs, but...
No. Canines.
Cat? Oh, but cats can scratch. Oh, that's tough, man. This is a really tough question. Penguin? But that's my favorite animal.
Come on. I love penguins. They're so cute. Yeah.
A fish?
Why? Which fish? I feel like we need to specify that.
Specify? I don't know. What fish do I have beef with? Queen Dory.
No. Dory?
Yeah. I would beef with her. So what was the animal you think you could beat?
I don't know if I can beat them, but I would like to beat them. A kangaroo.
Oh, bro. You're not living to see the sun next
month. I know.
Kangaroos
they are jacked.
Yeah.
They are super jacked.
Yeah. Kangaroos more jacked than
that. So I would like to beat them.
Okay. Okay, what's your question?
If you could be a mythological creature... Which would you choose?
I feel like a dragon is a pretty cool one.
Oh, yes.
You know, the fire and all that?
Yeah.
I'll be a dragon. That's my answer.
You took up a good answer. I think mine would be... what's that creature called? They have a sphinx in Egypt.
Head Isn't that a type of cat?
No, it's... Yeah, it's made up of... Four different animals, I believe.
Wow.
A tail of... I think the body of a lion, the head of something else.
I love that, though. That's cool.
But the reason for that is... It's the best of a lot of different worlds.
Mm.
So you get a lot of options.
I love that, man. What are you doing that people should know about right now?
In terms of work?
Sure.
Or in general, just...
In general, in terms of work.
I'm trying to make it as a content creator, or rather a full-time content creator in Dubai. So what that means is I'm trying to not just make content creation a way of sustaining myself financially, but also looking for opportunities of how I can expand and make this a business.
Mm-hmm.
Where I can make it a company. It doesn't have to be very big, but I'm trying to do that right now.
Mm.
So the first thing that I've done now is I've started, I think I have a knack for storytelling. I'm not saying I'm very good at it, but I think I'm decent. So I'm helping companies and brands tell their stories.
Mm.
Help them make organic content via stories.
I love that. Okay.
So that's what I'm doing. I have landed my first client.
Amazing. Congrats, I started
working
bro.
With them this month only.
Mashallah.
I'm very grateful, alhamdulillah.
I love that. Okay. I know you were doing something with board games, right?
Shit, how did I forget? So I'm also trying... We just spoke about that before starting the podcast. I'm trying to build a community of... right now it's focused on board games. But the reason behind building this community is because I've seen that people in Dubai are... They don't have very many friends. And the reason is very obvious. I mean, because most of them did not grow up here. They grew up in a different country altogether. Mm. That's where the majority of their family and friends are.
Mm.
They've just moved here. And they're looking for people, maybe perhaps like-minded individuals to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
Spend their weekends with, mm-hmm. I guess. I'm just trying to give them a platform. Or trying to rather create a platform where they can connect with like-minded individuals.
Mm.
So... I would like to start doing that with something that I'm already familiar with and I know how to do. And that is board games.
Okay, I love that.
I like board games. That is why I was also excited for getting into the job.
Yeah.
The cafe that allowed me to move to Dubai.
I love that. That you took something, even though you're not doing it, you still wanted to incorporate it somehow.
Yeah. I like playing games. So that's why I'm hosting these meetups. Since I was shifting and going through the whole hassle, I haven't been able to do that in the month of November. But inshallah, this month I would like to do that.
I'll be there for the next one.
Yes.
100%. Let's see how we can make that happen. Yasmeen will be there too. Cool, man. Do you have any last words for all the millions of fans that are watching?
Millions. Wow. But maybe one day when they look back at it, inshallah. Look back at the podcast. One day, inshallah. I think I know this might be thought of as bullshit, but try to be positive.
Yeah.
You know, be grateful, be positive, and try to don't limit yourself. A lot of times it's not the society or the people saying you can't do anything. It's your own head. It's your own self telling you that you cannot do that. You are incapable.
Mm.
So try to overcome that.
I love that, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on this episode. And for all the people watching, I hope you got to understand more of who AT is and what his journey has been like and what it took for him to get here. And like, comment, and subscribe. And if you want AT to come on for another episode, comment that as well. Thank you so much for coming,
bro. I'm going to be there regardless.
Thank you so much
for inviting. It was a real pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thanks, man.
I loved our conversation.
I loved it too. Thank you so much. Take care, bro.